Travis Ryer, you're inside the game. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. How are you, Ryan?
Good, good, good. Just plugging along, plugging along. I needed your music expertise a couple of minutes ago. Boston and Kansas.
Yeah.
Coming to Tuscaloosa. We're going to give away tickets here in a couple of minutes. Give us a little bit of a preview of those two bands.
Well, bands of our youth is what I kind of would refer to those two groups as, and soundtracks of our youth, or at least my youth as a 46-year-old and of parents who enjoyed music of their era. You know, it was kind of a household regularity to hear bands like that in our house. So, yeah, classic rock genre, I guess you could call it now, and legendary in a lot of ways. And, you know, like bands that have been around that long, they've undergone some changes in, to the lineup, and I think, but still, it'll be a fun show at the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater.
No doubt. Coming up April the 30th in Tuscaloosa Amphitheater, we'll give away tickets here in a couple of minutes. Travis Ryer right now inside the game. Let's go to the NFL Combine for a couple of minutes. In your opinion, which Bama guy impressed you the most with some of the times that's coming out of Indiana?
You know, I don't think we should be surprised by what Landon Collins and Amari Cooper both did up there. Both went in as first-round picks. Amari is a top first-round pick. Landon, a little bit more of varying opinions, although pretty much a consensus or unanimous first-round pick at some time in those first 32 selections. So, but both those guys, I think, were big winners because when you looked at it, they had the most to lose. So for them to go to Indianapolis and turn in the kind of workouts they did, I think they really solidified their status as first-round guys. And, you know, beyond that, DeAndre White, I thought, had a good workout for the most part when you look at it. Ran sub 4.5 in the 40, did some good things in his other drills. You know, not the natural pass catcher that Amari Cooper is, but then again, who is? But, you know, I think DeAndre White probably helped himself. And Jalston Fowler didn't run great in the 40, 4.9, 4.95, somewhere in that neighborhood. But, you know, as a fullback, I don't think that really hurts him too much. He did some good things in the other drill work. And, you know, he's clearly the top fullback in the draft. So, you know, I'd say those three or four guys, and there's still a couple of guys that are going to have a lot to prove once Pro Day rolls around here in a few weeks in Tuscaloosa, like Ari Quanjo. And, you know, I think T.J. Yeldon is a guy who's going to want to certainly run better than he did up in Indianapolis. So those are a couple of guys that are going to have a good bit to prove here at Pro Day.
Looking at the defensive guys, and I know we can go back and we can build an NFL roster with Nick Saban players. How much do you think, I mean, I know the 40 counts and the vertical leap and the shuttle run and the bench press and everything else, but when you look at the Saban factor as far as NFL draftees, especially on that side of the football, on the defensive side of the football, just the mental side, because you know that they understand the game of college football. If they're at that level, they've played under Nick Saban, they know the game of football. How much do you think that really matters when a guy's sitting in a draft room and you got a guy that's pretty equal in all the characteristics, but he's a Saban guy, and he may not be a Saban guy.
Well, I think what helps guys from Alabama right now is that, you know, the NFL looks at Alabama's program as essentially a professionally run program, almost like an NFL franchise in terms of, you know, how they go about their business and how they prepare, how they do things in the off season. The daily practice plan, the preparation during game weeks, it's as close as you're going to find, along with maybe a handful of other college programs, to what you'll see in the National Football League. So I think there's a sense of security from NFL people when they look at Alabama guys right now and thinking, you know, these guys, again, in terms of preparation and every facet of day-to-day life, as a football player, this is as close as you're going to get to what they're going to experience at the next level.
As we continue our conversation, Travis Ryer right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. I also want to go to spring practice a couple of minutes. We're 18 days away from spring practice, believe it or not. It seems like just yesterday, Ohio State, Alabama, tangling in New Orleans, 18 days away from spring practice. As we look, and I don't know if you've did this, but I was thinking about a couple of minutes ago and a couple of days ago as well. When you look at the competitiveness, and we've talked about this before, there's a few guys that are locked down. J.K. Scott, he's locked down. Cam Robinson, Ryan Kelly, Reggie Ragland. But you could put up, you know, like out of the 22 with just playing time, 17, 18 guys that are competing for playing time. This is going to be a fun spring, and I know you guys are going to have wall-to-wall coverage there at BamaOnline.com.
No doubt, and even guys that we view as sort of, you know, marquee guys as frontline players, as All-American candidates, guys like Jaron Reed, A'shaun Robinson, they're going to be faced with competition. You know, it's not a given that guys are nailed into a certain number of snaps game in, game out, because, you know, you got Jonathan Allen as a defensive end in there with Jaron Reed and A'shaun Robinson. You still got Dalvin Tomlinson. I mean, you've got guys like DJ Petway. So when you look at specific areas like the defensive front, the competition's going to be outstanding. And then there's other areas where they need frontline guys to emerge, like wide receiver, where the competition is still going to be a lot of fun to watch, because even though the experience and production maybe isn't there, when you look at guys like Cam Sims and Ardarius Stewart, Robert Foster, Eric Keith, you know, the Chris Blacks at the wide receiver position, guys like that, you know, there's going to be a lot to sort through, and we haven't even talked about quarterback yet. So, yeah, it you're right. It's absolutely across the board shaping up to be as competitive of a spring, and even in the fall camp is what we've seen under Nick Saban at Alabama.
Let's go back. Georgia, Alabama, Saturday night, another heartbreaker in Tuscaloosa.
It really was, and, you know, Saturday has just not been a good day for Alabama basketball of late. Four straight losses on Saturdays, and when you do that, you're not stringing together back-to-back wins, obviously, and that's something they just have not been able to do since the very start of SEC play. They won their first two games in league play, haven't been able to string together back-to-back wins since, and if you're not able to do that, it's really hard to make a push in the league, and it's really hard to make a push for NCAA tournament consideration, and that's kind of where they find themselves right now. And it seems like every game, I know we talk a lot about it being predictable, but within those losses, there are different things that seem to crop up. And against Georgia, I thought it was free throw shooting. They shot 9 of 22 from the free throw line in the second half and overtime of that game, and you're just not going to close out a solid opponent, even on your home court, you know, shooting sub 50% from the free throw line, and it really, really hurt them, and had a chance to close out that game, I thought, a couple times, and because they weren't able to get it done at the free throw line primarily, they find themselves again in a situation where, you know, they head into a midweek game starting over. It feels like every midweek they're starting over, you know, like they just can't continue, you know, and follow up and add another win to one win. Just get a couple wins going, and then you never know. And I look at the schedule this week, same thing, Ryan. I mean, South Carolina in here tomorrow night, very winnable game on their home court for Alabama. Go to Vanderbilt this weekend, take on a pretty much subpar Vanderbilt team by their standards. Even on the road, that's a winnable game, but can you trust this team to do that at this point? You know, so far the answer's been no.
Best case scenario, Final Four games, South Carolina tomorrow night, Vanderbilt, as you've already mentioned, Ole Miss and Texas A&M next week.
You know, right now I'd have to say 2-2. I just, it's going to be tough, especially when they go to A&M, because that's not the same A&M team that they saw to start the season. Obviously, but so, you know, I would say right now 3-1 is possible it wouldn't surprise me, but being realistic, I think, you know, 2-2 is probably about the best case scenario.
At this point, 6 years in, I don't know if you read the statistic. It was put out by ESPN. I was shocked of it. 3-38, 3-38 in 3 years. Top 50 RPI teams. He's 10-61 in the last 6 years. That stat even surprised me when I look at the last 6 years and 3 years here in Tuscaloosa.
It is, and I don't think anybody 6 years ago anticipated us being in this spot 6 years later. I mean, it was perceived as a home run hire, a slam dunk hire. A lot of people felt like it was a better hire than Alabama should have been able to make at the time. And now here we are with one NCAA tournament appearance and, the inconsistency at best that we've seen the last couple of years. And, again, it's just, you know, it just to this point hasn't been what I don't think anybody anticipated, especially, again, we talked about this before. The buildup in the first 3 years, you know, it was trending exactly the way you'd want it to. And then it just, you know, hit its third year, get to the NCAA tournament, but it's been, you know, pretty much on a downturn since then. And, you know, I don't know the exact reasons for it, but for whatever reason, and I think recruiting's been part of it when you look at their post situation specifically, but it just haven't been able to get traction. You felt like that was happening in year three, that they were about to really make a run. But that hasn't been the case.
Travis, you cover recruiting with your website, BamaOnline.com, wall-to-wall coverage, whether it's football, basketball, a lot of things happening there, BamaOnline.com, Travis Ryer right now inside the game. I look at what Nick Saban is selling. I get that, okay? I get what Gus Malzahn is selling across the state or Hugh Freeze in Oxford. But going to basketball, I always try to find out what Anthony Grant is selling. If you're Anthony Grant, what do you tell a recruit that you want you to come play in Tuscaloosa, play for my program? What's your sales pitch at this point?
Yeah, it's getting tougher because, you know, it's one thing if you're making some tournaments, even on a semi-annual basis. Yeah, you can sell that. But when you're not doing that, first and foremost, and you're not sending guys to the NBA, to the next level, that's when it gets to be really, really hard. And I'll also say, though, that maybe this is just the old guy in me. Maybe I'm that guy now, and as I get into my later 40s. But I don't think the quality of high school basketball, in particular, the players that you're seeing coming out now, is what it was 15, 20 years ago. I think there's good players. I think, you know, you're seeing some of that this year for Alabama. I think a young guy like Riley Norris has been a real nice addition to the program. You know, same thing with Justin Coleman, the point guard. So I think there are still some quality players, but I'm talking about true difference makers, you know, guys that can take you with two or three of them to an NCAA tournament. I'm not seeing that either. So I think it's a tough situation for a couple reasons. More, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it's tougher every time, every year you're not relevant in the NCAA, and that means NCAA tournament appearance. And then also if you don't, you know, send guys to the to the NBA, it makes it tougher too. So, but again, I still say, you know, the quality of the basketball talent, specifically in state, good players. Don't get me wrong, but you know, Gerald Wallace and some of the guys that we saw come out years and years ago, and that type of talent just doesn't seem to be plentiful as it once was.
Blame it on Saban. Blame it on Nick Saban. All the great athletes are going to football.
You can't do that because you know, we've seen Florida do
well,
it.
Very fair.
With guys like Steve Spurrier there and Urban Meyer there. Think about Billy Donovan, what his tenure at Florida has spanned in terms of football, with guys having been there with guys like Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. So it can be done, you know, and there's no reason, and we've seen it done at Alabama, you know, in the early 90s. I vividly recall seeing Gene Stallings sitting right there at midcourt at Alabama basketball games when Wimp was doing his thing, and both were very good. So, you know, I know times change, situations change, but even at Alabama, we've seen the football program be a top 10 or 15 program, and we've seen the basketball program be a top 10 to 15 program simultaneously. It can't happen, and it has happened. So we're not talking about setting precedent here. We're talking about, you know, replicating something we've already seen.